I trust that the Lord will help today. A belated Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you all. We sort of missed out on all of that this year. Ann and I have contacted some kind of virus or flu or something. We did test and it didn't appear to be COVID, so there's lots of other things out here that can set you back. Anyhow, pleased to be with you this morning. If you have your Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. There are many, I'm going to call them key players in the Christmas story. They range from angels to wise men to shepherds to temple guardians. I'm thinking of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Of course, the Virgin Mary plays a significant and indispensable part of that Christmas story. I would like to take a few minutes and we'll see how my voice lasts to see that we could talk a little bit this morning about Joseph as being a key player, but also as Joseph as being almost a silent player in the story. Mr. Herbert Lockyer, in his book, All the Men of the Bible, and I highly recommend if you can get any of his books in the All, ALL series, you will not be disappointed. He has several, many, I should say, probably about 15, called All in the All series. In his book, All the Men of the Bible, he has 11 Josephs named. And sometimes it's very brief, only a reference. Sometimes they are very significant players in the Bible. He has 11 of those named. And two interesting, three in particular, Joseph in the Old Testament, you might remember his story, one of the most impeccable records of the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, and Joseph. But also he mentions two Josephs in the New Testament. One he calls a man of nails and wood, Joseph the carpenter, the husband of Mary, and also Joseph of Arimathea, two of the men that play significant roles in the life of Christ, one at his birth, the other at his death. Just highly recommend to you a study of either of those men. In Mr. Lockyer's book, All the Men, he talks about Joseph as the son of David, a carpenter, a pious man, references to all of these designations, a kindly and charitable man, a faithful man, especially in his care for the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He also mentions that after Jesus was 12 years old, he never appears in Scripture again. I'm going to say tradition, but it's probably more like legend has it that he dies when Jesus is 18 years old. There's no reference, of course, to this in the Scriptures, but he certainly is not seen after the trip to Jerusalem at the Feast of Pentecost when Jesus is 12. In my little devotion this morning, I have called him a humble and obedient man, and then I'm calling him a man of few words. The reason I say that is because we actually do not have him speaking in the Scriptures. It's not like, and Joseph said, like it would be, and the wise men said, or Zacharias said, or Mary said, or et cetera, and et cetera. We don't actually have it recorded that he said anything, but we do know that he did call his name Jesus. I suspect that was probably at the temple when he went in to have him circumcised. Nevertheless, we're not told exactly when he did that, but we are told that he Joseph, called his name Jesus. Now, what I want to focus on just for a few minutes this morning is Joseph had four dreams. And I found these dreams very interesting. Dreams are not uncommon, of course, in the Scriptures. There are people today who put no value on dreams. There are other people who put extraordinary value on dreams, but dreams are quite common in the Scriptures. And if the Lord help us here, I'd like to look at the four dreams that Joseph had, and the significance of these dreams. I want to go back to, before we look at these dreams, I want to go back and re-emphasize, as we read the Scriptures and as we read the dreams, I want to emphasize that Joseph may have been a man of few words, but he certainly was not a man of few actions. And I believe that this can tremendously encourage us. James would remind us in his epistle that we ought to listen more than we speak. James' epistle takes the great doctrine of faith and says, just to say you have faith is not enough. It is the actions that verify your faith. Joseph was certainly a man of faith because his his actions would verify his faith. Now, let's look briefly at these four dreams. You're in Matthew chapter 1. I'm sorry, I won't be able to just read all of the Scriptures this morning. My voice would not allow me to do that. This is the scene in which Joseph, being quite confused, may be a good word, as to what is going on with his betrothed wife Mary. And in this dream, or sorry, and in this story, Joseph has a dream. Let me read in verse 20 of Matthew chapter 1. But while Joseph thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he, Joseph, called his name Jesus. The first dream has two particular parts. Take Mary as your wife is the first part, and call his name Jesus, the second part. In the four dreams that Joseph has, all of the dreams are confirmed that they are from the Lord, because they will all fulfill Scripture. Now, this may be something you want to think about the validity of dreams. Dreams in the Old Testament in particular are prophetic in many ways and revealing, but always according to the Scriptures. This first dream is the two parts: take Mary as your wife, and then call his name Jesus. In verse 22 was done, and you might notice this, that it might be fulfilled of what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. I want you to notice in verse 24, Joseph being aroused from sleep, key word here, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. We're going to see a pattern. Again, a man of few words, but a man of an immediate obedience and action. By the time we get to chapter 2 in Matthew, the star has arisen, the wise men are following the star. They get to Jerusalem, and King Herod is inquiring. The whole city is anxious. They find out through the Scriptures again, and through their wise men, through their religious scribes and priests, that Bethlehem is the place The wise men follow the star to Bethlehem, and Herod had asked them to let him know. We know that he was inquiring so that he could do away with this king. He was afraid of this king. And the wise men themselves in verse 12 of chapter 2 were warned in a dream that they should go back a different way than they came, and they did so to avoid an interrogation by Herod. But notice in verse 13, the second dream of Joseph. When the wise men had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, dream number two. This is what the angel said: arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he, Joseph, arose, key words now, he took the young child and his mother, notice, that night, and departed for Egypt. Verse 15, and was there until the death of Herod. Notice again, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I call my son. One of the greatest evidences of the accuracy and infallibility of the scriptures is fulfilled scriptures. Hundreds of years before things actually come to fruition, you'll notice twice we have read, Jesus said through the prophet. If that's not inspiration, I don't know what that is. So we have the inspiration of scripture. We have the warning in a dream. We have the fulfillment of scripture, and we have the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This may have been one of the first, the earliest attempts on the life of Christ. There would be many attempts on his life before the hour that was appointed for him to present himself as the sacrifice for sin on the cross. All of these attempts would be out of the will of God. None of them would be successful, but there would be many attempts. This one by Herod. We will notice that the scene has tremendously changed. we're not talking about a baby in a manger with shepherds. We're talking about wise men coming to a house, a young child. Time has evolved. Herod is talking about killing children 2 years and under, which would give us a reference that it would probably be at least a year and a half after he was born. Herod wanted to give himself adequate room to make sure the king was destroyed. And so the warning. But the warning, not only for their safety, but the warning was that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And the scripture, the prophetic utterance way back out in the book of Hosea was, out of Egypt I call my son. Born in Bethlehem, scriptures might be fulfilled. Called out of Egypt, scriptures might be fulfilled. The second dream He immediately obeyed that night by night and took them to Egypt. Now, dream number three, chapter 2 and verse 19. Now, when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. The first dream came in Bethlehem. The second dream came in Bethlehem. The third dream comes when they were in Egypt. Verse 20, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." Verse 21, then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. Again, I just simply reference his immediate action, took them immediately to the land of Israel. He followed, he obeyed, but then he heard something. Look at verse 22. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside to the region of Galilee. He came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth. Notice again that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, he shall be called a Nazarene. The third dream and the fourth dream intertwine. After the third dream, he obeyed. He immediately went back to the land of Israel. It would appear upon arriving in the land of Israel, he hears that Archelaus is reigning instead of Herod, and he's afraid to go back to the area of Jerusalem or Bethlehem or Judea, that area, that land area there. And the Lord, in his mercy and grace, intervenes in a dream again and again that the scriptures might be fulfilled. In verse 23, that which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. All of this, of course, is recorded for our admonition and for our learning as well. Warned by God in a dream, turned aside and goes to Nazarene. Just think about that for a moment. The prophet said he'd be born in Bethlehem. He was. The prophet said he'd be called out of Egypt. He was. The prophet said he'd be called a Nazarene, and he was. John chapter 1 and verse 45, called a Nazarene. I suppose we should try to say, well, that's great. Joseph had some wonderful dreams, some wonderful experiences, and wonderful deliverance, and wonderful protection, and wonderful direction. These are all amazing stories. What does that mean to me? How does that affect me? What are lessons that I could learn from these dreams? Lesson number one, this is a personal opinion on the little knowledge I have of dreams and scriptures. It doesn't appear to me that there's any extra biblical revelation given that God is not already recorded in His Word. And let me tell you why that's important. If you have a dream that is extra biblical, what I mean by that is you can't go to the scriptures and read about it or verify it or understand the dream by the scriptures. You have no reference point. How do you know? How would you ever know where that's the will of God or not the will of God? But if you have a dream that can be verified by the scriptures, explained by the scriptures, I believe you might have good reason to take note of that dream. It doesn't seem too often in the New Testament, after the days of the Lord Jesus, that dreams were that important. We know we read about visions, which maybe is a dream during the day, might be a daydream, it might be something that you see in your mind, or maybe even physically, but again, has to be verified by the scriptures. I believe it's possible. I don't think it's common. The most common way God speaks to us today is through His Word. If people don't have the Word of God, who would I be to say that God cannot give them a vision or a dream that would be verified by the scriptures? Faith cometh by hearing, not by seeing, but by hearing. I suppose you could hear the word of God in a dream as well. But what can we learn? That there is one overall, huge, unmistakable lesson that we can learn by these four dreams. Joseph, very confused. You could only imagine that. Very confused. His engaged, his betrothed wife is expecting. He knows it's not his. He knows it's a delicate situation. He is very confused. And the Lord says, let me help you with that. And so the Lord explained it to him. You say, well, that's great. Now he knows. Well, it was explained to him. You know how he knew that was true? By faith. In each of the accounts, we read something like, he did, he took, he moved. Immediately after the revelation was given to him in a dream, the big lesson here is he trusted God. He believed it. He moved on it. His faith had feet. He did as it was commanded him. He did as the angel twice told him. And also he did as he was warned by God in a dream. I don't know if God used an angel in that last dream or not. I'm not sure, but it simply says, warned by God in a dream. And immediately again, he turned aside. He went north to Nazareth rather than going into Judea. And the Lord blessed him and fulfilled scripture in his action. You know, you could look at this another way, and I'll just close with this. You could look at it. What if Joseph didn't do it? What if he would have said, this is more than I can bear. I can't believe it. I mean, virgins don't have babies. There's another man involved here. God says, no, there's no man involved. She was conceived by the Holy Spirit. This is God's doing. Well, let me suggest that God chooses his vessels very carefully. And you may say, I don't think I could ever do that. How could I believe God in something like that? When there's no danger near, when I don't see anything, why would I take my wife and my child in the middle of the night and flee to Egypt? What if he hadn't have done that? What if what he heard when he got back to Israel, he was so afraid that he could not move? What if he said, I'm going back to Egypt. It's not safe here. What if he hadn't have believed God and gone to Nazareth? Well, the obvious answer is, he would have failed in the task that God asked him to do. Now remember, the scriptures are clear. God will never ask you to do anything that he will not give you the grace and strength to do. Therefore, if it can be verified by scripture, and dear friend, we're not talking about some rare, some extraordinary, something. We're talking about scripture as we read it on a daily basis and its claims on our life. You don't have to wait for a dream anymore. All you have to do is pick up your Bible and read it and obey it. The lesson we learn from these dreams is immediate obedience by Joseph. Great lessons to learn. Perhaps so much more could be said. I thank God I got this far along. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your help. We ask your blessing and we ask your strength and courage to just do what you ask us to do by faith in action for Christ's sake. Amen. We're going to take a little break, and Lord will.